she was reading her Bible and accepted Christ as she's reading her Bible and reading God's word. And it was really interesting. So she gave her life to Jesus then. It was like God grabbed me by the shirt collar and said, you know, do you believe me now? Like, you know, you've been praying for your wife and yet you've been still so distant from me, but you've been praying for your wife. And here I showed up. And in fact, I've always been there, but you asked and here you go. Your wife now knows me. Where are you? And that was the thing. Right. You're kind of like telling me like, hey, dude, you're supposed to be leading your family. And yet, you know, it's taking me to have your wife know me so that you can get back in the game of leading your family and getting back to me. And I, you know, quickly submitted to the Lord and said, I'm sorry. And I just want to follow you and committed my life again to Jesus.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. My name is Mike Falkenstein. I am both the president and founder here at 1-8 Catalyst and your host for this, the 8th episode of the podcast. And I am so glad that you're with me. I have another fantastic interview episode for you today. And it is actually a very unique episode because this will be the first time we've had someone that is not in full-time vocational ministry, but rather someone who is out in the workforce getting her done. So we have today for you my good friend Ken Watmore, who is a podcast enthusiast as well. We actually worked on a podcast together that I did called the Made for Missions podcast. We did 85 episodes together. And today we've got him telling us a little bit about his testimony, his story, and specifically what it's like to do Great Commission ministry while working full time with a secular job. And so great episode. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'll be back here in a bit to give some closing comments after the interview. We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I have another interview episode, and actually this interview is a particularly special one to me. I've got Ken Watmore, who is a local Denver friend. And Ken, you and I have a bit of a podcast history together. We've just done over the last couple of years, we did 80-some episodes of a podcast together. You joined me for a podcast that we called the Made for Missions podcast. And so to have you on this podcast is particularly fun for me. Thanks for joining me for this this new podcast and this interview episode.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be on this. And I'm always excited about all the stuff you got going on. And this is really cool. So I'm thankful to be on it.
That's great. So the other neat thing for me is I've been interviewing people that are in full-time ministry, meaning vocational ministry. You are the first one that, that is not. Your ministry tends to be, through your career and opportunities you have at your church and whatnot. So give folks just kind of a quick 2 or 3 minutes, kind of here's who you are. Tell us about your family and then about your career.
Sure. So, I'm a father of 6 children and married to my wife, Mickey. And, we have a big family. We're, an independent contractor. I'm a sole proprietor business guy here in the Denver area, which at this time, it's quite a blessing. And to be able to be, able to work from home and still, it's funny as I get to do business at home, Mike, I get the nicest distractions, when I have a 4-year-old daughter who comes into my office to color me a picture or to ask me to help her with a song. And that's great. And then I have my older kids here. So at the end of the day, I get to talk to them about things that are going on in the world and current events for, you know, college age kids, and one that's just beyond college, and then a senior in high school and a sophomore in high school and an eighth grader. I mean, I get to work through all that stuff, and through the whole thing, my wife gets to help me with business. So yeah, it's pretty cool being able to work at home. And I guess to answer, you know, kind of a little bit about me, I guess my world is my wife and six kids and operating this, you know, this business that I started some 17 years ago. So
That's great. And so the business is Colorado Fleet Sales, right? So you are a auto broker, which...
Yeah, broker and consultant. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, which, you know, I didn't know much about that industry or that business before I got to know you. And I've just completely gone the other way, meaning for those that need a new car, it just seems like that just kind of makes sense. I mean, it just, you know, you get to test drive all kinds of cars, and you know, you don't have to go to a bunch of dealerships. And I think this is kind of, are you getting a sense this is becoming more and more the way just people want to shop for cars?
Well, yes and no. Interestingly enough, so yes, from a broker perspective, it is. And I'll elaborate on the no in a second. So yes, the interesting thing is that we've been doing person-to-person business, you know, ever since I've been in the broker business. So, you know, I've moved out of the dealer world and into the broker business. And we deliver vehicles to people's offices and to their houses. And it's really one-on-one business. No, I have no obligation to any one manufacturer. Whatever a client wants, I can get it, whether it's a new car or a used car. I don't have to sell what I see, meaning, you know, like at a dealership, when you work at the dealership, they want you to sell what's on the ground because it's eating up their interest. They're paying every month on those cars, and they got to get them in and out. They have a timeline they're working with. For me, I don't have a timeline, and I don't have any reason that I have to sell a particular brand or model or something that's in my own inventory. I can help a client find whatever they want. So that's really cool. And that person-to-person, one-on-one, you know, drive everything business has been the norm for me and my world for a long time. Interestingly, with the COVID-19 stuff that's going around, dealers are being forced to do business the way that I've been doing business for years, delivering to a person's home. I would say office, but most offices are shut down right now. But you get the idea that this is kind of the norm now, but the dealers are still locked into their inventory and their product line. So I still have a little bit of a benefit there, maybe an advantage. So why I said I would elaborate on the no.
Yeah.
The no is this, though, and this is something that I didn't expect. I was a guy years ago who said, you know, eventually they're going to go to this virtual showroom and everyone's going to do business the way that we do, even amplify to the extent that a customer will do everything virtually and get a vehicle direct from a manufacturer delivered to them. Well, I don't think that's the case anymore, actually, because I think with sales so far down and the market so affected by the inability to go do person-to-person business at a dealer or walk in and talk to somebody or shop at their leisure and the way they want to, I think that the manufacturers are seeing that, you know, maybe the virtual showroom is not the best way to do business. People really enjoy going and interacting with other people. So I don't think it'll affect my business in the long run. I think we'll still do person-to-person business, but I think the dealers are being greatly affected by the inability of clients to go interact with people. And that, now, you know, move into the stuff that we're talking about, God's kingdom, the communal aspect of our relationships with people, right? Like, people want to interact with people. They don't want to be stuck in one place or have to do things a certain way. They want to go out and mingle and and socialize, even in business. And I think we're seeing that in a really, really big way right now.
That's really interesting. That's interesting. So I know, since you and I did all these episodes of this podcast and we've been friends for a number of years, I really wanted to get a chance to interview you because I already know about your relationship with the Lord and, you know, a little bit about that. So, but for those that don't know you, give folks kind of the quick sort of, here's how I came to know Christ and a little bit about your testimony.
Sure. So I grew up in a non-believing home. in a split family, divorced parents, remarried a few times. I kind of bounced back and forth a little bit, not a churched home at all. My grandparents on my mom's side were Catholic. So it's not, I would say that the reference point for me as a kid was really just Christmas. Interestingly, it wasn't Easter or anything like that, even though it was a Catholic family, but that was my grandparents, right? So some traditions that have been passed down in the family sense, from traditional Catholic families of gathering together and things like that, the feasting and all that, all those things happened, but with a split family, I wasn't always there. I was with another family, with my dad's side or whatever it was. And, we just never really talked about Jesus until it was Christmas time. And the only reference I had at that point was really, Christmas programming that talked about the baby Jesus. I mean, Christmas was all about Santa to me growing up, but I did know that there was this baby that was born, but not, there was no why behind it. I mean, I didn't realize who Jesus really was and why he was born into this world. So fast forward through quite a troubled childhood because of being a split family and, multitude of issues in that dynamic. When I was in high school, I was invited to a Young Life club, a Wednesday night club at, First Presbyterian Church in North Palm Beach, Florida. Everybody seemed to go to this club. It was a giant gathering every Wednesday night. And for me, it was an excuse to, go. Boy, that sounded like something I could do during the week and not have to sit home. I already didn't like being at home. Plenty of stuff going on. I wasn't necessarily a good kid. I was, I was involved in plenty of things I shouldn't be involved in. And I was invited by a Young Life leader who would come to our school at lunchtime every day and would come to our school after school every day and interact with all these kids. And I noticed they interacted with every kid, the jocks and the skaters and the punk rockers and the hard rockers, and every kid was wanting to interact with this Young Life leader. So I asked my parents, can I go to this thing? It wasn't far from our house and I wanted to go. And when I went for the first time, I realized that those same groups of kids, every walk of life, were there from multiple schools in the area, schools that were rivals. I mean, there were kids from everywhere and they all enjoyed each other's company. And this club thing was a little bit weird to me, frankly, at first, because, singing songs together was a little weird, but the skits they did were hilarious. And that led up to, they had a Young Life camp coming up. And one of the counselors had invited me to go to camp. And they said, just don't let anything stand in your way. We'll help you out if it's, financially or whatever it is, just get your parents okay to come to camp and we'll get you there. So I did, leading up to camp, I had gotten a little bit more involved and gone to a couple of, they have smaller meetings of smaller groups of people that the counselors have. And I had gone to a couple of those and I knew the kids that were involved in those smaller gatherings. So I was kind of getting into it and hearing a little bit about Jesus through Young Life. And then when I went to this camp, it was actually the weekend of my 15th birthday. And I remember on the way to the camp, we had stopped we'd stopped to visit some church friends of the leaders. And our group was, staying at this one church one night, and then we would go to the camp the next night. And I just remember that night being moved by some dialogue I was having with the counselor. And I just remember being moved enough to call my dad and tell him I loved him, because we were, we were having our own challenges at that time. And then I feel like now looking back, that's when God was kind of mixing my spirit up a little bit, right? Like I feel like, like he was reaching in there to soften me up a little. And then over the weekend, I had been hearing the message at Southwind, which is a camp in Ocklawaha, Florida, in the swamplands of Florida. And, over the weekend I had been hearing the message and, I just remembered that then the Saturday night we were there, that's the night they kind of, it's very common at many Christian camps, right, to share the message for a couple of days and then one night have everybody kind of go out and have their own quiet time and everything. And I was just committed at that point, feeling very led to ask Christ to be my Savior that night, my 15th birthday. And I went out and did. I gave my life to Christ that night. And then Interestingly enough, I came back and, you know, my sophomore year, I was just on fire in the beginning for the Lord. And I remember getting really plugged into Young Life, and the leaders that I had were fantastic. They just really cared. And we developed some tremendous friendships among some, you know, some young guys that were all, you know, sophomore, junior, senior guys at the high school. And to this day, we're friends. But I did, in my junior year, you know, allow all of the other outside influences in my life with all this family drama and stuff, get right back into my head. And I ran far from the Lord for many years. And I mean, many years. And I kind of forgot who God was. And interesting, when I started in the car business, I was pretty slowly successful, but I was quite a partier. I remember my brother-in-law had been saved. He's younger than me, and he had been saved, and he was now kind of hanging out with a local Young Life group as a counselor here in Colorado. And he was talking to my wife, his sister, about Christ. And I just remember going, wow, that's kind of my role, right? Like I should be doing that. And I remember praying, going to work every day and coming home from work every day and just praying that despite who I had been and where I was and what I was doing in life, I had just been praying like, God, I actually said this, Mike. I said, God, I know I missed my chance. I know I missed my chance, but I don't want my wife to not know her maker. I don't want her to not know the God who created her and why you want a relationship with her so badly. So despite where I'm at, you know, clearly I didn't understand grace at that time. And I said, despite where I'm at, even though I missed the boat, I just pray that you would influence my wife. Well, at that time we were building our first house, and we had some neighbors in our apartment complex that had told us about this neighborhood they were moving into. That neighbor, by the way, was at the time reaching into my wife's life. She was a Christian, her and her husband, both believers. And, you know, they had influenced this decision of this neighborhood we were going to move into. And our house backed up to what is still our church to this day, Cherry Hills Community Church. Mm. Our new house backed up to the parking lot.
Wow. Ken, what a fantastic story. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, which in some ways I hate to do because it's clear that in this story, God is clearly at work in your life. But let's take a quick break. Let my friend Tom Muller say a few words. And when we get back, I want you to get right back into that story of what God was doing at that time in your life.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our website at 1-8catalyst.org is chock full of resources that we hope will help you find great commission fulfillment. From previous episodes of the Catalytic Podcast, our new 5-minute video resources that you can share with others on social media, to our blog content, we exist to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst, enabling every Christian to find great commission fulfillment. While you're on our website, navigate to and like our Facebook page, which will keep you up to date on the latest from us.
Well, Tom Muller, thank you again, my dear friend, for that kind word. Ken, why don't you just jump right back into that story you were telling us before Tom joined us?
I remember I'm praying like daily about my wife and her relationship with the Lord. And I remember one day while we were standing there looking at the foundation, my wife said, can you imagine someday, you know, us and our kids kind of walking over the fence and going to church? And I was like, well, I can imagine that, you know, interesting. I can imagine that. And that, you know, as the house got built, that became, you know, a little bit more and more of a discussion once in a while. But my wife also didn't go out of the house very much, and she didn't have a big gathering of friends. And she had, knowing that we were moving in there, she had put her name on the list to be part of MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, that met at the church. But they were so full, it was so popular at the time, that she was kind of on a waiting list to get in.
Oh, wow.
And it just so happened that during this time, she Once we moved into the house and everything, they called and said, hey, guess what? You know, we got room at one of our tables. They want to invite you in to come meet with them and hang out with them at their MOPS table and stuff. And my wife started going to MOPS, and there were women pouring into her life at that point. She told me for her birthday, she had just wanted to get a Bible. And, you know, she didn't even know where to start. And when she went to look for a Bible, she was just overwhelmed with so many different kinds of Bibles and all this stuff. And she's reading her Bible. And my wife is one of these people that, with all this influence, she was reading her Bible and accepted Christ as she's reading her Bible and reading God's word. And it was really interesting. So she gave her life to Jesus then. It was like God grabbed me by the shirt collar and said, you know, do you believe me now? Like, you know, you've been praying for your wife and yet you've been still so distant from me, but you've been praying for your wife. And here I showed up. And in fact, I've always been there, but you asked and here you go. Your wife now knows me. Where are you? And that was the thing. Right. It was kind of like telling me like, hey, dude, you're supposed to be leading your family. And yet, you know, it's taking me to have your wife know me so that you can get back in the game of leading your family and getting back to me. And I, you know, quickly submitted to the Lord and said, I'm sorry. And I just want to follow you and committed my life again to Jesus. But at that point, since then, I've been a follower of Christ and leading my family as such. And still always, you know, different kind of wrestling matches now. My wrestling matches now are, when I have those time lapses, when I turn my back on God, not to go party or anything like that, but yet just avoid him. Like senselessly, I think we all, maybe, I don't know, but I think many of us at least have these periods in life where we senselessly avoid God. Like there's no purpose behind avoiding. We're just lazy. We're just literally too lazy to be engaged with the Lord in our daily walk. So, you know, I may go to business one day and be involved in business, and here I am chasing dollars and worldly security, and yet I'm neglecting God, who's right there going, hey, I'm still here, remember me? And that could happen for a day. You know, it might happen for a day or two, Mike, and that's something that I still today, you know, I mean, I follow the Lord, I love the Lord, again, lead my family that way, but as a Christian now, my shortcomings, but one big one is when I have those lapses and I go, boy, here I am praying and it's been a day since I've talked to you. Like it's, or what if it's been 2 days since I talked to you, Lord? Like, I'm so sorry. Like why there's no reason that I wouldn't be talking to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope that makes sense. I do. Yeah, I do. I had just seen something, Ken, online about that, where someone had posted something on Facebook and it was something along the lines of every day that you are not spending time in prayer and spending time in God's word, you're really just communicating to God that you feel like you can do this without him, right? And that really struck me because I still even have those days where, you're busy in the morning and you kind of short that time with him in the morning, and it's like, I don't want any one day to be that, you know? And so, yeah, I think that's a common, that's a common thread amongst people that are Christians. So Ken, which by the way, I'm actually learning some things about you. It's great to be able to talk in this way and to see how your wife was really a big part of this, you know, your testimony. And so it actually would be interesting to talk to her too and get her perspective as well. But so because you are involved in, you know, your car business, I'm particularly interested in two things. I know your time is limited, so I want to ask, first of all, kind of, you know, how you went from, yes, I've accepted you, Lord, which a lot of people kind of get to, and then they just kind of get comfortable in that, and they kind of stay in that place, to, I really need to be involved in God's work in evangelism and making disciples. And so I'm curious for you, kind of, how'd you make that switch from, you know, I'm a Christian, I just kind of go every Sunday and I'm just kind of doing my thing, to, man, there's people around me that don't know him, or, you know, I need to do more. And so kind of, where did that switch flip for you?
Well, probably more when I started coaching football than anything work related. I mean, it's funny because I think about this, and just last week I was kind of thinking and praying through this too, that at work I could guarantee you this, everybody who knows me knows I'm a Christian, right? Everybody who knows me knows I'm a follower of Jesus. But do they know, and I already know the answer to this, it's not the answer I want, but do they know that I want them to be saved? And, you know, they know that I'm a Christian, and they see, you know, you hear so many people, so many believers, this is a cop-out, we do it, we all do it. So many believers, you know, talk about how it's, you know, we can say so much in the way that we walk with the Lord. You know, bogus. You can say so much with the way you walk with the Lord about your relationship with the Lord, but what you can't say with your relationship with the Lord just in the way you walk with him personally is how much you want other people to be saved. And that's the outpouring of God's love to you should affect you so greatly. And I'm guilty here of this, but it should affect us so greatly that all we want is for people to be saved. Like how,
that's right.
You know, and the people around me should know, every one of them should know, not just that I'm a Christian, but I want them to be saved. And man, I fail at this all the time. Everybody can say, everybody that knows me knows, man, he is a Christian. That guy, I've even had people say like, oh, hey, don't, you know, we can't talk around him like that. He's a pastor. And I'm not a pastor, just a Christian, you know, but, right. But they might talk like that. And then, but do they know that what my primary objective should be is because Jesus loves me so much, I should be overflowing with his love. And that love should force me to want to tell people about him. And that's a, you know, that's a place I strive to get to. Just to go back to the answer to the question, really, when I started coaching, I started feeling more and more committed to, I mean, I coach in rec league football. I always have. And, you know, I kind of tell every parent at the beginning of every season, you know, I'm a Christian. I wear my faith on my sleeve. I'm going to talk about Jesus. That's the way it is. And if that's not okay, then I don't mind if you go to another team, but that's just who I am. Mm. And I do find myself in that opportunity to talk about Jesus in my coaching, you know, every season with all these kids. And I just felt like that was the place God really put me to be able to coach and help, you know, these young men learn biblical values and all that stuff. But even then, like, and I do, I always make sure to remind my players how much I want them to know Jesus. I want them to be saved. Mm. That's a common thing. So I would say that coaching is when it maybe elevated that part of my personal walk with Jesus and being committed to evangelizing. But that next level, which I'm being very convicted of now, you know, in the last several weeks of being not around workers that I'm used to or not around people that I interact with on a daily basis, I've been really thinking about this, and that's good timing for this call because I just really want to emphasize to all, you know, anybody who would listen to this that's a Christian, they may know you're a Christian by your walk, but do they know you want them to know Jesus? Do they know that you want them to be saved? Because that's the mission. Hopefully that answers the question and maybe emphasizes where I'm at.
Yeah, that really does. That really does. So in the minute or two we have left, Ken, I'm curious to know, of course, you know my heart for Great Commission fulfillment, and yeah. You've been involved with not only your church, but you've seen other churches. And so I'm curious to know, you know, as you kind of look at the Western church landscape, if there was church leaders that were listening to this interview, what would be the one thing you would say to them to say, hey, just in terms of, you know, if they're looking to look, they're looking for ways to enable their congregations to become a fully devoted follower. And you look at the landscape today, what would be the one thing you'd say, hey, just focus on this one thing?
It's a really good question. And I would say this, kind of what I just said is reminding the congregation of believers, you know, that because they're saved, it doesn't end there. And we take our salvation for granted. And the goal is that, you know, he wants to save each one of us and then wants us to be responsible for introducing other people to him. We're not saving anybody. He does that. But we're introducing people to who he is. And that should be a result of our faith in our relationship with Jesus. It should be a natural byproduct of what we do and how we live in our Christian walk, right? I mean, like people, well, you and I have talked before about how, you know, our the works that we do in the church aren't for our salvation. The works that we do are a result of our salvation. the result of the way that Jesus has impacted our life. And he's poured so much love into our life that we are overflowing. And that's the idea for works. Our work should be overflowing of compassion and love of Jesus to other people. And that goes on to the mission of evangelism, sharing the gospel, that we've been impacted so greatly in our own walk that we can't believe how much Jesus loves us, and we want to make sure that other people know how much Jesus loves them. We don't want to just let people know how much Jesus loves us. We want them to know how much he loves them. It's got to go past me. You know, it's got to go to the next person. It's funny. I just wanted to say before we got on, I was thinking about this, about the idea of taking salvation for granted, because it is such a personal thing. One of my favorite Bible verses, Mike, that's always a reassurance to me, is John 10:28-30. I'm going to just read it just to buzz through our time here. Mm-hmm. It says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So I love that verse because it always reassures me. I am so covered and protected that no one can snatch me out of the Father's hand. But yet that same verse convicts me that I take that covering for granted. I take that protection for granted. And when I'm thinking about sharing the gospel with somebody else, which I, again, let all the listeners know, personal failure here. I am not good at this all the time. I've so many times I think, boy, I should have shared then, you know, and
right.
You know, and I just sit here and go, don't take it for granted. And to the church, make sure your congregation knows not to keep the salvation between you and Jesus. You got to share with somebody, because that's the whole goal. When the last that's person right. knows, he's coming back. So let's get people to know, because, you know, we all want to be with the Father in heaven, you know, around with his glory. It's going to be magnificent. I often think of all the great things that I enjoy here on earth, and the funnest places that I've ever gone, and the coolest things I've ever done, and the greatest things I've ever ate, and the most amazing things our family has experienced. And I sit there and I think, because Mike, there's so many things I still want to do, right? And as in my flesh, I go, oh man, if I got sick right now and died, there's so many things I've left undone. And there's so many things I still want to do with my kids, and there's so many things I want to experience. And yet there's two things to cap that off with. One is all the things that I should have wanted to experience are, man, I should have shared Jesus with one more person. That's I don't want to die without sharing Jesus with one more person. That's one thing. And two, anything I experience in heaven is going to be exponentially greater than anything I can imagine now, or anything that is here on earth. Everything in heaven with the Lord will be greater, more than I could ever imagine. So come on, Jesus, come on back now, right? So, I mean, don't worry about the things you're not going to do here. It's going to be better. You won't miss a thing. But we need to let everybody know. We need to let everybody know, because there is a time, and this is a great time in our world right now for people to see everything here is beyond our control. And this virus is just this is not one of the great plagues that could come, that will come someday. This is minor. This is small potatoes. Yeah,
that's right.
We're clearly flattening the curve and moving over the hump. And we freaked out on this. We're not going to be able to handle it when it gets bad. And the only thing that you can put your faith in for sure is that God has already won. He has complete control. And people need to know him, or the day that it's all over, they'll never have the opportunity, and they're gone for good. You know, so my salvation is mine between me and the Lord. Thank God that he saved me, but I got to tell the next person about it. And every church should be telling the congregation, don't just try and live by example. Go tell somebody about Jesus. And I need to go do that.
Amen. Well, that'll preach for sure. That's good. Thanks, Ken. That's a good word. And yes, a lot I could say about this, but you know, Ken, your words there just reminded me of a book that I'm just reading now. And the title of the book is kind of the one thing you can't do in heaven, which is, you know, once you're in heaven, you can't tell anyone else, you know? And so the idea being do that while you still can here and, you know, help others, you know, come into that relationship with the Lord. So Ken, thank you so much for the time. I know that with your car business, you have told me that, of course, you're here in Colorado, but anyone that's interested listening, you know, really nationwide, right? If they're interested in any kind of a vehicle, they can get in touch with you. So what would be the best way for people to do that?
Oh man, that's so nice of you to say that. You know, they just go to my website, coloradofleetsales.com. That's the best way, or they can find me on Facebook, and I'm always linking back and forth between my personal and my business account there. But Colorado, the state, fleet, like a fleet of many vehicles, and sales, like what I'm doing. So coloradofleetsales.com. I really appreciate that, Mike.
Thanks. Yeah, great. Yeah. And I know that they, you know, they're going to be happy that they did it. And it's so great to have you, Ken. Thank you so much. And look forward to, hopefully having you back on the podcast again.
I can't wait. Thanks so much, my brother. Be well.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the 8th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. I think you agree that Ken and I had a fantastic conversation. You can see why he is a good friend of mine. I like spending time with that guy. He's a good guy. Loves Jesus and loves his family. And yeah, great guy. So again, I would highly recommend also, if you are in the market for a car, please contact him at coloradofleetsales.com. Let me also mention, because I've forgotten to mention it the last couple of weeks, we do have a request/get-in-touch-with-us line. It is 303-335-9658 if you've got any ideas for future episodes, if you have any further questions. We would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to having you with me on the 9th episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.